It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now, I want to look at Joseph's life just a little bit. Now we go to Genesis 39. This sounded pretty good, didn't it? He had God's help, God's favor, God's blessing in his life. Genesis 39, and Potiphar had made him ruler over his house. God had blessed him that way and prospered Potiphar's house because of Joseph. But in verse 7 of Genesis 39, it said, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, saying unto them, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He hath came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So then she began to accuse him. And we know that Potiphar was very angry when he heard. He had Joseph thrown in the dungeon, the prison. And Joseph didn't do anything. He had some convictions. Here was an opportunity that presented itself. Nobody was in the house but him and his wife. But here was an opportunity to do something. But he had godly convictions inside that caused him to flee, to run from temptation. Now, we need godly convictions also in our lives. We need godly purposes established in our heart and in our life. Now I want to go back to Genesis, the 49th chapter. Genesis 49 again. And I want to look at Reuben's life a little bit. Genesis 49 and 3. It says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Verse 4 says, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Now, Reuben, it sounds like this scripture saying that he should have had dignity and power. He was the firstborn. He should have had some real blessings in his life. But he didn't. And the prophecy that his father gave him said, as unstable as water. Now what's water do? It takes the shape of its container. It runs to the place of least resistance. It finds a hole and it goes. That was his life. Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph didn't take the path of least resistance. He had some godly convictions in his life, and he stood by him. And God blessed him because of those godly convictions. Now, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because when opportunity, temptation came, he just fell. He went into temptation. Godly convictions will help us tremendously in our life. And we live in a time where godly standards and convictions have been dropped for the most part in society. Our society is not what it was 100 years ago, 120 years ago. It's been on a downward trend. But we still want to have godly convictions. I believe God wants us to have godly convictions in our lives. It's a strong persuasion or belief, the state of being convinced that something was right. Now, I believe Joseph thought in his mind, you know, here was this temptation, but he probably, you know, through his life, he wanted to live for God. That was the desire of his heart. And I believe he recognized this temptation is only temporary. It's only going to last a little bit. And he maintained his integrity with God. And God was able to bless him. And there's been other people. I want to look at another scripture now in Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had made a great feast. Verse 1 says, he made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And he gathered together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So this is a pretty big deal. All the important people are here. In verse 4 it says, then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They were put on the spot, weren't they? The music began to play. Everybody began to bow down and to worship the golden image, except three Hebrew children that had some godly convictions. Now, godly convictions, does that mean when I'm in a foreign land that I can do different than what I am at home? They weren't at home. They weren't at Jerusalem. They were in this foreign land of captivity. But they knew what the word of the Lord said. And that's why they were in captivity, because their nation had not been keeping the word of the Lord. They lost their godly convictions. That's why they were in captivity. So that reasoning, say, well, we might as well do what everybody's doing around us, doesn't make sense, because that's why they were in trouble. You know, we can't do everything that everyone else is doing around us either in the world today. So many people just look out and look, well, everybody's doing it. Does that make it right? Does that make it acceptable because many people are doing it? It doesn't, does it? God still has principles of truth and righteousness. But they didn't fall down and they were cast. Now, they were warned. They were given warning. Would you call what they had a strong persuasion? Pretty strong, isn't it? Cause a man to go into a fiery furnace than to bow down to a false god. That's a conviction. That's pretty strong. He did it at the peril. They did it at the peril of their life. Well, we know the story that Jesus went into the furnace with them and they weren't burned. And it changed the whole thing. The king looked in. The men that threw him in were burned because of the heat. But they weren't burned. Let's see, where does it talk about that? In verse 22 says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And they came forth. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The Lord stood with them, didn't he? Even though they went into the fiery furnace, the Lord was in the fiery furnace, and don't you know they were glad? You think they came out sorry or depressed? I imagine they had a smile on their face. Praise God. They stood firm. They're so glad they didn't bow down to false image. Let's stand faithful. When we're facing the heat, and there's going to be some heat put on us sometimes to do things that are not lawful, that God doesn't want us to do. Help us to stand firm and be faithful at those times. God blessed Joseph because of godly convictions. Reuben wasn't blessed because he didn't have convictions. His spiritual life, just whatever, the shape of the container is the way I'm going to be. God's got something more for us than that. And these we're reading this morning are examples to us that we can read them and learn what God had done and how God has blessed those that had godly convictions. Also, Daniel, the first chapter, Daniel 1 and verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, here we are again in a strange land. We're not in church. You know, some people do good at church, but the rest of the week, they don't have godly convictions. Then said, and the princes of the eunuch, verse 10, said unto Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. So here they are in the land, and we know the laws that God had given them. They weren't to eat meat, pork, unclean meat. There was what God gave them, unclean and clean. Now, we're not under that law today. We can eat pork. It's okay to have pork and meat. But I want to say what this is teaching us. The Old Testament is a type of things that we can learn in the antitype in the New Testament. Although we can eat pork and all those types of things that they couldn't in the Old Testament, the lesson is that there was clean and unclean things to eat. Now I want to tell us our spiritual diet. There are things that are clean and unclean in the world today. The music, the books, the things that are out there, there are things that are promoting wrong, untruth, ungodliness. Those are unclean. If we partake of those into our lives, what's that going to do to our character? It's going to have an effect on our moral character, our life, our integrity. Just like our natural diet has an effect on our physical man, our spiritual diet affects our spiritual man. It does. We can't, and I believe that's what the Old Testament is teaching, that's what that's for, teaching us in the New Testament that there is a clean and an unclean. And the New Testament talks about putting away that which is unclean, sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. And so that is our, we got to watch what we eat spiritually. What we take into our mind, what we listen to, what we give heed to, what we lend ourselves to. Because that has an effect on my character, on whom I am. And if I want to have godly convictions and I've got a bad spiritual diet, it's not going to work. We're going to find ourselves, if we've got a bad spiritual diet, we're partaking of things that are unclean, then I'm not going to have the grace and the strength that God wants me to have in my life when temptation comes. I'm going to fail time and time again. But if I've been taking of good things that are pure and holy and upright and true, it builds my spiritual man that when temptation comes, I'm able to discern and I'm able to resist and I'm able to be what God wants me to be. That's what I believe the significance of the meat is for us. Pork, it doesn't, Jesus said, it's not what comes into the mouth, doesn't affect our spiritual or our moral being, but what we take into our heart and mind will. So Lord, help us today. And here was these men, it said Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. You know, Lord help us, when we come into situations and we know sometimes, I feel like Daniel recognized ahead that here we're in this heathen land and we've got God's commandments, we've got God's truth that he's given to us, and here these people don't have that. There's going to be some crossing of roads here. And it said that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. We need to do that too. We need to purpose in our heart to follow truth, to follow right, to have godly convictions in our heart and life that God is able to bless and able to help. I thought about also Moses. It said that Moses said that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, when he came to age, he made a decision in his life. He made a choice of the direction he was going to go and how he was going to live. You know, if you don't you don't purpose in your heart, you don't choose, you're just going to be like water. You're going to fit the environment. You're going to fit the container. You're going to fit the pressures that are in the world. It's so vital for us to have, to purpose in our heart, I'm going to live for God. Now I want to recognize this word unstable that he told Reuben. It means inconstant, unfixed, vacillating. That's what unstable means. Unconstant, unfixed, vacillating. Just kind of back and forth. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be fixed. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be constant and have personal convictions in our life. And I want to get James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, in the sixth verse. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Having two minds, a double-minded man, having two intents, two purposes. You know, some ways, deep down, I remember as a young person thinking, someday I want to live for God. Someday I'd like to get saved and I'd like to live for God. Someday. I had good feelings that way. I didn't have any bad feelings towards God, that type of thing. But for a long time, I didn't really make a commitment to God. You know, I would go to church sometimes when it felt convenient and felt But I didn't have any conviction that way. Until I gave my heart and life to God. I purposed. Now, it said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Here it talks about purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, sometimes we got too many different agendas in our hearts. And God is not ruling supreme. And that causes a double-mindedness. That causes instability. And that causes us to fail to receive what God wants for us in our lives. But I want to tell us this morning that our relationship with God is like a marriage. And we know, we all can relate to marriage, right? When you stand before the altar and you make some vows to what? Death do us part? Does that mean when everything is easy? Everything's not going to be easy, is it? I don't care how nice of a person you marry, there's going to be times when your grain is going to cross. There's going to be times when your personalities don't blend together very good. So is that time when I can ditch her and go find somebody else? Not if I've got some godly convictions. That's what marriage is. That's what God intended for it to be. For in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, poverty or riches, I'm with you for the long haul. I remember Brother Riley was put into a nursing home. I believe it was at Shawnee, and I didn't know Brother Riley. I hope I'm getting the name right. Anyway, they put him in the nursing home, and his wife was coming to visit him. And he one day spoke up and he said, seems like we made some vows a few years ago about sticking together for better, worse, richer, and poor, sickness and health. And she moved in with him. She moved in with him to the nursing home. They lived together till the end. God wants us to stick together. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have times where we don't really want to talk to each other right now. But I've made some vows. We do that with God in serving Him. We give Him our heart, our life. We tell Him we're His till the end. And that brings me into responsibility. And that brings me into godly convictions. When we enter into it, we enter into a covenant with God. I don't always feel, I've had a rough week this week. I came to the service this morning tired. I feel better now. But I was so tired this morning, I could hardly get out of bed. But you know, I've got some convictions that caused me to come, to be a service. That's the way marriage is. That's where you know, I like to be blessed. I like to be on the mountaintop with God, and I like it when, you know, He reveals things and His inspiration is right there. But it's not always that way. Sometimes it feels like I'm walking through the desert. Sometimes it feels like God's a million miles away. Sometimes when I pray, it's like, where are you at, Lord? But I've made a commitment. I've got godly convictions. That's the way God wants us to serve Him. Not just when it's convenient. And the Lord wants, that's what the Lord God told Joseph was blessed in his life because he had godly convictions. And I look at my life and I've been blessed. It hasn't been me. It's not my work. It's because God has helped me and God's been with me. We need God. Oh, I think about the scripture there that we read there in Genesis. I want to read that again just a little bit more. Joseph, Genesis 39. No, Genesis 49. I thought about this here. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And verse 23 says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. You know that the Christian life is like that too. The archers shoot at us. There's hard places. You know, God has never promised that everything would be easy. He's never promised that everything would just be smooth sailing all the time. But he has promised to be with us. Joseph had some obstacles here. He had his brothers hated him. He had some opposition to him. But it said his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Because he had some godly convictions. Lord, help us today. Godly convictions are a good thing. You know, I think about sometimes we have different areas of our life. Paul, in one place, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There are some things that are perhaps lawful to some people that I may have a certain weakness towards. And I see them going for it, and they can handle that. I'm talking about lawful things. I'm not talking about sin. And they can do it, and they have no problem with it. But if I just look at them and say, well, they're doing it, I can do it. And I've got this weakness, and it causes me to stumble and fall. I've got to put some convictions in my life. I've got a purpose in my heart. In some places, they may be able to do that, but I've got a weakness there that I've got to watch and guard. So I'm going to put some fences. I'm going to put some areas, fortified areas, to protect my spiritual life. And the Lord will help us to do that. He'll help us to see our weak areas and our strong points. And if we got some weak areas, let them be fortified. There's a scripture that talks about fortifying the munitions, the weak spots. Build them up in our lives. We know we got some weak areas. Fortify yourselves in those areas that it can be built up and become stronger. Let's not be ashamed of godly convictions. If we have godly things that we do because of serving God, though it's different in the world, let's not be ashamed of it. Let's hold godly convictions. Joseph, I'm sure he was glad he did. The three Hebrew children. Daniel, you know, Daniel, again, when they prayed to any other god and he was praying three times a day to his God, he didn't change. Even though he knew it meant going to a den of lions. And he did. He went and slept with the lions for a night. The Lord was with him. That'd be quite a testimony, wouldn't it? Sleeping with a whole pack of lions. Somebody said, well, they weren't hungry. They were hungry when the others came down there. They had appetite, but God was with him. God will be with us too if we have godly convictions. Amen. Thank you for your attention.